Good afternoon, and thank you for being here again and listening to this lecture on the next topic of Stephen Minister training, which has to do with caring for people who have depression. One thing I want to mention up front, Stephen Ministers are very qualified with their training to care for people who are depressed. That is, people who are depressed from the standpoint of a mild form of depression or even to a moderate form. We are not qualified or trained to care for people who are severely depressed. That's going to be an underlying theme today, so that it's very clear what the parameters are and what we would do in the event that we find ourselves in a situation where our care receiver is exhibiting signs of severe depression. Some of this we've alluded to before in other situations. Module 11, you may remember, about referrals to professional caregivers. But we'll go over this again in the context of people who are suffering with depression. One thing I want to reassure everyone up front is that you will never knowingly be assigned a care receiver who is severely depressed. I repeat, we will never assign a care receiver to a Stephen minister who is severely depressed. That is, if it is known to us. The other side of it is, sometimes, even when we know that the person is not severely depressed, if they are suffering from depression, they could become more severely depressed during the course of time when you care for them. So there are some contingencies that might actually result in your seeing that you have someone that is beyond the care of a Stephen minister. But those things can happen. People can change in terms of their mental health, and we have ways to help you to deal with that should it happen. Okay, we're starting in your book on page 297 with a presentation outline. Our devotion today is a steady, caring hand. Now, many of us probably already have experienced some level of depression at one time or another in our lives. It can be a very painful, frustrating, exhausting experience. It can affect the person's outlook, their sharpness of mind, and overall functioning. Now, people with depression may wish they could just will it away and be back to quote-unquote normal, but they usually find that it's not quite that easy, not quite that simple. Now, in your pre-class reading assignment, you read that a major challenge for someone experiencing depression is the ongoing cycle of negativity. This cycle can leave a person feeling trapped and defeated. Often people aren't able to see their way out of their situation, or they may see what needs to be done, but they struggle to take the necessary steps to help themselves. Now, there's a Bible story, of course, that relates to this, as there is probably for many, many, many things in life. Elijah, the prophet, faced a very frightening and painful experience resulting in his feeling very depressed. While living faithfully for God, he met strong opposition. Queen Jezebel threatened to have him killed. Now Elijah ran for his very life. Let's read the verse at the top of our outline for the class, at the top of page 297. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. Quote, "It is enough now, Lord. Take my life away, for I am no better than my ancestors." 1 Kings 19, verse 4. Elijah lay down, and he fell asleep until he felt a hand on him. For God had sent an angel to strengthen him and refresh him for the trip to Mount Horeb. Now, once he arrived there, he rested in God for 40 days and 40 nights. Sounds familiar. Jesus did something, but under a different circumstance, kind of similar. He learned to hear God's voice in a silent whisper. Those who are depressed may not vocalize their fear and pain in this way, but they certainly are crying out for help. They may not even realize it, but they are. Just as God did with the angel and Elijah, he works through Stephen ministers to bring strength and hope to care receivers struggling with depression. Now, your presence can refresh a care receiver. There's no question about that. You can help him find hope and healing that he so desperately needs. Let's continue now with the opening prayer. Dear Father, we know that many have encountered or will experience depression at some point in their lives. That includes many of us and those whom we love. When we suffer from the pain closing in around us, we ask for the comfort of your presence. When those we care for feel depressed, use us to care for and support them, to share your presence, and to show them the way to renewed hope and joy. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, first additional topic. When to refer a care receiver experiencing depression to a mental health professional? You know, it's really critical, although we don't diagnose, certainly don't diagnose, we're not qualified to make a diagnosis of anything. It is critical to recognize how to know when a care receiver who's experiencing depression may need a referral to a mental health professional. So we're going to be looking for signs and indications that that may be the situation and it may be the possibility that you're seeing. Now, as you saw in your pre-class reading, there's three levels of severity in depression: mild, moderate, and severe. Now, Stephen ministers can care for care receivers experiencing the first two levels. However, those care receivers who are severely depressed or become severely depressed, those care receivers need to receive professional help. Let's look at Focus Note 1 on page 297, the types of depression. Now, here's a description in your book of mild depression, moderate depression, and severe depression. And in class, we go through each one of them. So I recommend that you read that description and try to commit it to memory. If you don't remember it, however, you've got it right in your book. So those suffering with severe depression need care from mental health professionals. Yet, as a Stephen minister, you're not qualified to diagnose. As I said a few minutes ago, you can't diagnose the severity of a care receiver's depression. But as I also mentioned, it's helpful to be aware of the three levels of depression, but our role as Stephen ministers is just to recognize the characteristics and the signs that indicate that a care receiver might need to be referred because they are at a severe level of depression. Okay, let's look at Focus Note 2 now, please, on page 298. This is a continuum. It shows the three levels of depression and the likelihood that someone at each level would need a referral. So, for example, if it's mild depression, from all indications, your job is just to remain alert and make sure that everything is staying the same and things are moving along okay. At the stage of moderate depression, you may be considering a referral. So I don't want to suggest that we wouldn't refer someone to mental professional help unless they're at severe depression. It might be very beneficial for someone with moderate depression to also see a mental health professional. But it's not as absolute. Finally, if someone has severe depression, as I've been saying, you would absolutely be under the obligation to identify the signs speak to your crisis or community resource people. They're the same at Bethlehem. They're either myself as a Stephen leader or pastor, and also supervision. And we would determine what the best order should be. Typically, it's always supervision first. But if we're between meetings and you have a concern, you come to me. If we need to involve pastor or we need to get the group together for a quote-unquote emergency meeting of supervision, I would handle that. Okay, so the more intense a care receiver's depression, the more likely a referral to mental health professional would happen. Now, as a Stephen minister, once again, you're not going to make the diagnosis. No one's going to hold you to that because we're not doctors. But it is helpful for you to understand these categories so that you have some idea where your care receiver might fall in terms of the level of their depression. Now, there are two situations that indicate a care receiver experiencing depression needs to be referred to a mental health professional. First of all, the person's characteristics of depression go on for at least 2 weeks and seem to be interfering with their ability to function. So there are normal everyday activities, such as going to work, maybe attending school, even eating, you know, there are no nutritional needs, personal hygiene, or maintaining relationships with others. So these things can give you a clue. If something's changing in those areas, there's a pretty significant reason and a problem with their level of depression. It's because these things could indicate severe depression. Now, in a second situation, there could be a case where a person displays one or more signs that their depression is beyond a Stephen minister's ability to care. Let's look at focus note 3, which is on page 299 in your book. And what we do again in class is read that particular focus note. So I recommend that you look at it because these are indications that a person may be beyond the Stephen minister's ability to care. Particularly intense characteristics of depression, pervasive negative effects, giving up hope of improvement, distorted perception of reality, and of course, suicidal thoughts. The last being the most concerning, of course. Okay, now we're going to look at slide number 5. And on slide number 5, there's the flowchart that you see on page 300. Now, again, in class, I would give you just a couple minutes to look it over. We don't necessarily read through it. It's kind of a nice way to kind of encapsulate what we've been talking about. So you read it over and kind of get an idea of what it is saying and how it summarizes the correct steps depending upon what's going on. Okay, most care receivers will experience some of the more common signs of depression. Some of those would be like lowered mood, expressions of anger. So if a care receiver is exhibiting some of these characteristics of depression, we'd recommend that you pay close attention to how long those characteristics last and the impact they have on the person's life. So again, if it's more than 2 weeks, a red light goes on, this is an indication very likely that there's a problem. Or if they are having problems doing their very basic life functions, that also can be a great indicator. The flowchart helps you to know when you should contact your Stephen leader or / pastor about getting a referral for your care receiver. We're also referred to, of course, as the community resource contacts, and Stephen Ministry mentions that. And we're also the crisis contacts for Bethlehem. We're, you know, being a smaller group of Stephen Ministry, we don't have the levels and the layers of involvement with the ministry. So it's pretty simple. You have concerns, you come to me, if you can't reach me for some reason, which might be very unusual, but if you can't, then and you have an urgent need, you talk to pastor. Now, that's presuming that you don't have time to wait for supervision. But again, if you come to me and it looks like we should meet in supervision to assist you, we can always call that meeting early. Okay, so you can always contact your community resource people, and you should, because we don't expect any Stephen minister to make decisions like this alone. Now, there could be a very rare situation, as you heard about before, where you believe that the care receiver is in imminent danger of inflicting harm on themselves or someone else. The situations are suicide, homicide, or abuse. If that were ever to be the case, you would contact emergency services, 911, possibly 988, depending on the situation, as a mental health referral, and then contact the Stephen leader. Okay? That we discussed this, the way to handle this in Module 9. So we're going to talk more about getting help for someone who might be considering suicide in our next module. That's the total topic for the module next week. Now, it might be beneficial for a care receiver who's been experiencing depression for a substantial period of time to receive professional care. Now, that doesn't mean they're at the severe level all the time. So if you think your care receiver might benefit from a referral, then you talk to your Stephen leader, or you bring it to supervision if it's timely that you're having the meeting. So in summary, if the care receiver is mildly depressed, continue to care and remain alert. If the person is moderately depressed and has been for some time and you do feel, though, that they could benefit from a professional referral, then you bring it to your Stephen leader or your supervision group. And there may be involvement by pastor at the Stephen leader level, depending on the situation, and usually I would be the one to do that. Step 3, the care receiver may be showing signs of severe depression, or the care receiver is needing care beyond what you can provide. Well, then you contact your crisis contacts immediately, right away, so that you can begin the process of referring your care receiver to a mental health professional. So finally, you want to remember that you're never alone in these situations. I need to emphasize that you are never alone in these situations, and you don't have to make these decisions alone, and you should not. All of us, myself, pastor, and supervision, are there to provide you support, because you really need that support. Anyone would, as a lay Christian caregiver, as like a Stephen minister. So you're going to need support every step of the way in this process, and you will have it. Now, putting these principles into practice, we look at Focus Note 5, page 301. It starts and in your book. And this is a pretty extensive exercise. It's an exercise, and we do it together. Pretty extensive exercise where you would read through these different situations and make a decision together, do I refer or don't I refer to a professional caregiver? So we do that as a group. What I can tell you as you go through it, I ask you to go through it. If you have any question or are not sure about whether to refer or not, then you contact me, ask the question. You can call me, email me, see me. Be happy to clarify that rather than to go through each one now on the tape. But if you, I think you will find that it's pretty clear as to why you would refer or not refer in each case. Okay. Let's move on a little bit. Now we look at 12 guidelines for the caring for people with mild or moderate depression. And this is going to take pencil sharpening, and you should be taking a pretty good abundance of notes now, and there's some space in your book to do it, but hopefully you have some additional paper handy. These guidelines are crucial for caring for a care receiver with mild or perhaps a little more severe depression. I'm saying moderate. I have bad choice of words. Moderate depression versus severe. Okay. Now, these are situations we're going to look at in which the Stephen Minister is equipped to provide care. So, again, that is when the care receiver is either mildly or moderately depressed. Now, also, you have already learned skills that will apply for caring for those care receivers who are depressed. The listening skills that we've learned, how to deal with feelings and encourage feelings to be recognized and accepted and expressed appropriately, distinctively Christian care, and the tools that we typically would use, assertiveness, you would use that skill. And also the way we cared for grieving people. It all ties in together, even now when you're talking about caring for someone who's depressed. So, we have 12 additional guidelines. Let's start with number one. Be accepting. Keep in mind the importance of being accepting, because it's really, really fundamental that you are doing this, that you're able to do this. Your depressed care receiver may very well be rejected by others. You probably have seen this, and I know I have. People can tend to avoid your care receiver because they find them difficult to talk to or be around. Depressed people don't behave necessarily like anyone else. They may even make the care receiver's depression worse by saying, thoughtless things like, you really don't have anything to be depressed about, or you should be over it by now, or stop being so negative about everything. Okay, this is very important. Avoidance and invalidation from others can be perceived as rejection, which can very well push your care receiver into a deeper level of depression. So you as a Stephen Minister can be a light into a dark place by being accepting of your care receiver and letting them know it's okay to feel pain and very difficult feelings. Now we look at focus note 6. Let's see. Okay, these all start rapid fire actually on page 304, 305. There's one after another we allude to. But focus note 6, communicating acceptance. Read through, please, those two suggested ways of approaching acceptance. Guideline number 2. Take your care receiver's feelings of depression seriously. Closely related to acceptance is taking your care receiver's feelings of depression seriously. Sometimes it's going to seem to you that the care receiver is depressed about something that would ordinarily be considered insignificant, or at least to you it's insignificant. The pain the care receiver is experiencing, though, is very real, and it shouldn't be diminished or dismissed. Do not try to cheer up your care receiver or use humor to try to help them out of depression, quote-unquote. That usually happens because the caregiver is not comfortable with the care receiver's depression, but it's not the best thing for the person who's hurting. It doesn't help. In fact, the care receiver may take offense and feel even worse. So instead, what do you do? Well, try to look at things from your care receiver's point of view. Remember, we have said this before, just last week in the module for grief. You need to look at their situation from their perspective. Ask questions to try to understand how your care receiver sees things and be very empathetic. If you do these things correctly, it will help the care receiver to see you're taking their situation seriously, and that's going to help them. So then they feel safe, remember the safe house, to continue to share. You're going to get more feelings out of them, which is going to be helpful to them and also help in your caregiving. Guideline number 3, be patient. All right, be patient, bottom of 304. It requires patience to care for depressed people. Frankly, it requires patience to care for anyone who is in the need of that kind of care. Care receivers may talk or respond more slowly when they're depressed. They might repeat themselves often. They might constantly focus on negative thoughts. So you want to allow the conversation to proceed at the care receiver's speed. Listen attentively, respond to their thoughts, even though you may have heard them before, repeatedly. A caution: if you show impatience, if you show frustration, and believe me, we're human, we can all feel those things, but you've got to guard against them, because if you show them, the care receiver could easily blame themselves for that negative reaction. You don't know what you're dealing with, and sometimes that's the reaction you may get. And the care receiver may be less willing to share or might retreat further into depression. Make a note also, be patient with the care receiver's pace for handling their depression. In addition, I recommend you resist the temptation, and it really does exist, to argue against the care receiver's negative thinking or give advice as to changes the care receiver could make to start feeling better. This won't help them. Instead, remain patiently focused on the process. Remember, process versus results. Let God and the care receiver work through the problems in their own time. Okay, guideline number 4, initiate conversation as needed. Now we're on to focus notes 7, 8, and 9, and we'll get to them one at a time. First, let's talk a little bit about them. Depressed people may have a wide variety of feelings about talking to others. Now, some might not initiate conversation, even if they feel better when they talk about it. Some may talk in spurts of silence while they collect their thoughts. Some could even be very comfortable with silence, or they're very uncomfortable with it, and they talk constantly. So, when caring for a depressed person, you're going to need to decide how best to engage the person in conversation. And how do you do it? Well, you use your skills. Active listening skills. Remember that? Offer affirmation when your care receiver shares. Prompt the care receiver with reflective statements. You know, reflecting back what they're saying to you. You reflect it back in your own words, what you hear. Ask follow-up questions. And invite more sharing. Also, pay attention to how the care receiver responds and determine as best you can, at least, how they feel about the conversation. Active listening will help your care receiver become more comfortable with talking. It's possible your care receiver might blame themselves for doing too much talking. This can happen with someone who's depressed. And if it does happen, just encourage them to keep talking. Look at focus note 7. Page 305. Very simply, please feel free to talk. I'm here to listen. Very simple words, but they mean a lot. They can be very powerful. Sometimes a care receiver with depression won't feel like talking. They may respond with very short answers or, you know, just some body language. It's no reflection on your caregiving skills. They may blame themselves for allowing silences to occur as well. You can help decrease their anxiety over silence by saying something like focus note 8. Take your time. It's all right to be silent if you need to. However, please note one thing in that regard. You may want to break prolonged silence with a caregiver who's depressed. If they're depressed, you don't want them to sit there for a long period of time and not talk. If you can encourage conversation, it would be better. If this were someone who was not experiencing depression and they just paused for a period of time because they were very upset, you could encourage that and let them come back at their own pace. But with a depressed person, you want to encourage them to speak if at all possible. So you look at
Focus note 9, breaking silences. For example, you've been quiet for a while and wondering what you're thinking. You're not saying much, which is okay, but I imagine there's a lot going on the inside. Okay. Oh, and one more. Well, actually, we're not up to it yet. Let's wait, because focus notes 10, 11, and 12 are following up, and we'll get the chance to look at them. Guideline 5, encourage expression of feelings. You know, exploring feelings is important with any care receiver, especially those who are depressed. We know that. Care receivers who are depressed can have a very difficult time expressing their emotions, more so than anyone else. So again, you provide a safe place for them to articulate their feelings, and that's really key. Affirm your care receiver anytime they make any kind of feeling statement. So for example, focus note 10, page 305, thanks, I've been wondering what you were feeling about that. Okay, so that's encouragement for expressing feelings. And we know expressing feelings, how important they are, when we studied it way back in the early modules. Now, sometimes a depressed person may express feelings by crying. They may be uncomfortable with the fact that they're crying, even though they have the need to cry. A care receiver who's depressed may experience feelings of anger as well. This is also a difficult emotion for people to express. Look at focus note 11, please, page 306. And it gives different suggestions for inviting tears or expressions of anger. So please read through that on your own. Now, as caregivers, we should help care receivers to express any feelings they have. It's just that tears and anger are often especially difficult to let out, and that's why we're singling those out. Anytime a depressed care receiver expresses feelings, ask follow-up questions to encourage them to continue to talk about those emotions. Really important. And you will do so if you ask those follow-up questions. Page 306, focus note 12. They list some ways to encourage further reflection on feelings. So please read through those ideas. Now, as you work through your care receiver's emotions with them, validate the feelings that you hear or see and communicate acceptance about anything that care receiver shares with you. Now, moving on, guideline 6, help your care receiver work through negative thoughts. Slide 12, focus note 12, I'm sorry. Let's see, I'm getting my slides and my focus notes confused. Okay, that's it. Focus note 13, page 306, responding to negative thoughts. And it's kind of, there's roles here that we take in class for a volunteer to be the care receiver and another to be the Stephen minister. Please read through that example. The key to responding to a care receiver's negative thinking, use a lot of reflective listening. See, people who are depressed get caught up in negative thinking, which in turn can cause depression to worsen. I mean, so it's a very not a good thing. So respond using a lot of patience and validation to the care receiver's feelings and ask those follow-up questions. I would not recommend you jump in and challenge the care receiver's thoughts because it will not help the situation. Use your active listening skills. Sometimes, you know, just having someone to talk to can help a care receiver begin to deal with those kinds of thoughts. Now, what if a care receiver gets stuck in negativity? They're repeating the same thoughts. Well, listen. For as long as your care receiver needs to talk, after they're done sharing, you know, you offer some gentle encouragement. Focus note 13, which is on the bottom of page 306. Okay, I was alluding to this. 306, 307 gives you an idea. As you read through it, you'll see what Stephen Ministry recommends. A care receiver with negative thinking who's depressed may begin what's referred to as a downward spiral. This is a real indication of pending problem. That downward spiral means they're falling deeper and deeper into depression. And eventually, the care receiver may be unable to distinguish between negativity and reality. Perhaps the care receiver begins to call themselves names or expresses the belief that they're inherently a bad person. Downward spirals almost always indicate the need for professional help, so remember that. They almost always indicate that that person is slipping into severe depression. Guideline number 7. Okay, we're advancing here a little bit. Follow the care receiver's lead in using the word depression. We're on page 307 in your workbook. See, in cases where you're caring for someone with mild or moderate depression, you want to be sensitive about labeling your care receiver's experience as depression, quote unquote, when you talk to them. See, unless a care receiver brings it up, it's best not to use the word depression. They may bring it up. They may say, "I've been so depressed lately." In these cases, you can say the term if you need it. But otherwise, avoid it because you don't want to upset them. And it's kind of an emotionally charged word. And it also sounds like a diagnosis, which we're not qualified to give. I'm not saying you're diagnosing them, but it sounds like it. There is an exception. You know what's coming. If you think your care receiver may be severely depressed, in that case, you can go ahead and use the word depression because you can communicate and you need to communicate clearly your care and your concern that this individual receives a proper, appropriate professional care. Okay, in class, we now take a break. And after the break, we come back and pick up with guideline number 8. Discourage self-defeating behavior. We're on page 307 in your workbook. Okay. A depressed care receiver may talk about quitting a job, for example, dropping out of school, maybe ending an important relationship. They may talk about selling their home that they've been in a long time, or maybe some other life-changing decision that might adversely affect them in the future. Now, the idea may seem appealing to the depressed care receiver, but they might regret the action once they did it, once they recovered. So we recommend, Stephen Ministry recommends, that you encourage your care receiver to avoid making any significant or potentially harmful decisions while they are feeling depressed. Now, Stephen Ministers don't give advice, typically, you know that, but in this kind of situation, it might be appropriate for us to offer an opinion, maybe a suggestion, make an agreement with your care receiver to delay making any major decision until they feel better, those kinds of things. This would be a situation in which intervening to some degree to prevent harm to the care receiver is legitimate, it's justifiable, it's necessary. Focus note 14 on page 307 speaks to this particular point of concern, delaying harmful decisions. And I would just ask you again to please take some time to read through the examples. So, the first step is do a lot of listening. Make sure the care receiver feels heard. The care receiver may just come to the conclusion timing's not right to make the decision, and that would be good because they came to it on their own. If they don't, it's important to warn against a potentially harmful course of action. And, you know, possibly you can suggest an alternative that's reasonable. The care receiver, this is a really crucial point. The care receiver has the right, however, to make the decision, even if it results in negative effects. And we have personal freedom to a point, and they do too. Even though they may be going through some depression,
they definitely have personal freedom to make certain decisions. The exception, of course, falls back again in the same area. If the care receiver's decision could result in physical harm to themselves or someone else, then they don't have the right to make that decision. If that situation should arise, you want to consult with your Stephen Minister crisis contacts, again, myself and or pastor. And if needed, and maybe before you do that, if it's that critical situation, you would call 911 if you feel that that's where you are with this care receiver and there's imminent danger. I would suggest if it's that kind of extreme situation, you call 911 so that your care receiver can be transported by people who can truly help them and get them to the right place for observation and for care. Even 988 may not be the right referral if you're at that extreme point. Now, guideline number 9, help your care receiver think through positive steps. Focus note 15 is on page 308. Let's talk first before we read it. Sometimes depressed people find themselves immobilized by indecision or uncertainty or lack of motivation or some other characteristic of depression. They can't think through the steps to take actions they know would help them feel better. They just can't do it. So this inability to act can worsen depression. As the person feels bad about not making any progress or getting anything done. If your care receiver is struggling in this way, invite them to come up with some small, constructive steps they can make. You don't want to give them advice. However, if they're open to change, you might provide an opportunity for your care receiver to think through possibilities. Again, these are baby steps. Whatever you might suggest, it has to be small and manageable to the care receiver. Baby steps can help a care receiver build that momentum and gain motivation to move to other tasks. Now, if you look at focus note 15, it's going to talk about brainstorming positive steps to take. I would ask you to please look through that focus note carefully. Okay, in class we do the roles, of course. Now, when you do this, follow your care receiver's lead. There's no pressure on them. Just ask questions as to what tasks they might want to complete. You can gently give the care receiver some suggestions to help them out, but care receivers work, they should work at their own pace. Okay, 12 guidelines. We're up to guideline number 10 now. Help identify the source of the depression. Alrighty, let's see. Okay, trying to keep track of 3 different resources here. All right, help identify the source of the depression. Before we read through, let's talk about it. Read through Focus Note 16, which, by the way, is on page 309. Let's talk first about some items I have here for you. You can also help your care receiver by working with them to identify what changes or events in life led to feelings of depression. What's the root source of it? Even if it's obvious why the care receiver is depressed, you know, maybe they had a tragic death in their family, it can help to encourage them to talk about their situation, to clearly identify those roots of their feelings. This process should help make the cause more concrete in the care receiver's mind. And they will see, hopefully, the cause of depression as something it is possible to deal with. Okay, focus note 16, please read that carefully through. Helping to identify the source of depression, it gives you some good pointers as to how to approach this. So it takes time. Some care receivers may not be able to come up with a cause for their depression. This example shows how you might help your care receiver, though, think through the reasons for the depression. Sometimes that's helpful. Recognizing the cause can be a step. Finding hope for resolving those feelings could be the end result. It can allow the care receiver to feel more in control of the situation. Okay, we're up to guideline 11. Recognize and affirm small improvements. Page 310 in your workbook. When we recognize and affirm small improvements, you can nurture hope in your care receiver. So it's encouraging. You might notice, you know, they have a little more energy, or maybe they work through some of their anger, and it's noticeable over the last few times you've seen them. Acknowledge those improvements. Give them that encouragement. And finally, guideline 12, share Christian resources when appropriate. Okay, we've gone through this, and this has come up several times. In fact, before I say that, let's see. Yes, page 310, there's a space for notes. Our Christian resources are primarily scripture, forgiveness, and prayer, and we're well aware of that. At times, you might support that your care receiver by sharing Christian resources like this, and they are discussed more in Module 4, Distinctively Christian Caring. Some care receivers might like to hear excerpts from Scripture. Others might not, especially if they have some spiritual struggles going on relating to their depression. So listen. Consider the resource of prayer. You know, prayer is a wonderful gift for all of us, and certainly for the depressed. And it really could help remind your care receiver God's presence is present and he's listening. It does allow the care receivers to share their burdens with God, and we're told to do that. We're asked to do that. Not to focus on our trials as much, but to focus on Jesus. So it allows that care receiver to share their burdens with God and even with yourselves as Stephen ministers, instead of shouldering them alone. It's a burden off their shoulder. If they're willing, offer to pray. Encourage your care receiver to bring their concerns to God. If they're not willing, pray for them anyway, on your own time. Another Christian resource, forgiveness. How important that is. That can always be an underlying reason for their depression. There may be some issue of forgiveness in their life. Your care receiver, for example, could feel guilty over their actions. Maybe they failed to meet expectations or other reasons that can contribute to their feeling depression. Okay. When you allow your care receiver to talk about those feelings, and after you do a lot of listening, you can share some words of forgiveness. So it's one way for them to work through the possible root cause of their depression. Scripture, powerful. A powerful Christian resource unique to our Christian faith. However, you know what I'm going to say, use it with sensitivity at the right time in the right way, because then it can be a great source of comfort and hope. Another thing that I don't think we talked about much before, but this module talks about Christian community. It's another caring resource for depressed people that can really be helpful, because sometimes when people are depressed, they tend to isolate, which is not a good thing. So Christian community could be as simple as asking them, inviting them to come to a church function or event. If the care receiver is interested, let them decide what they prefer. You know, the size, type of gathering, that kind of thing. Come to a Bible study. You know, it just depends on the situation, what you think might be helpful. Okay, lots of information. And of course, what we're going to do now and typically do in these modules is put some of this into practical use. There are three skill practices. They begin in your workbook on page 311. And in class, of course, we work through them. And it by yourself, it's obviously a little hard to do that. But I would ask you to read skill practice 1, 2, 3, and the different roles involved. The care receiver's role, the Stephen minister's role,
And then kind of look at the discussion questions and at least have a feel for what's going on there. So the skill practice, caring for people who are mildly or moderately depressed. From what we've learned, Stephen ministers can do a lot of care, good care, for people who are mildly or moderately depressed. And so this skill practice, of course, gives us a chance to practice these skills and the things that we're learning. Okay, I wish I could ask you, and I can actually ask you if there's any questions or comments. And if you have any, call me, please, 216-206-4871. See me at church. I generally go to service on Sunday. Email me, nsweeney@reagan.com. Happy to respond to any questions you may have in any of these work sessions or modules. I want you to get the most benefit from Stephen Minister training. Okay. That concludes the discussion, pretty much, on caring for people who suffer with depression. Looking ahead, and I'll back up just 1 second. How likely is it that you might be assigned to someone who has a certain degree of depression? It's pretty likely, because you could be assigned very readily to someone, let's say, who's been grieving or has a loss, you know, of a loved one they're dealing with. And depression very often can go along with that experience. So you may not be assigned to someone just because they seem to be depressed, but it can be a characteristic that goes along with the primary reason for the depression. So this module hopefully has given you a feel for what your role is and what it is not, and some of the skills that you can apply to these situations to truly help someone who is mildly or moderately depressed, and even someone who's slipping into severe depression, because you will want to know to recognize those signs and to help that person get the professional help they need. You know, I share with the class, and I will just mention briefly, not in as much detail. I think all of us at some point have experienced either with ourselves going through some depression or with someone in the family or a friend. I had that experience with a close family member about 15 years ago. And in that case, it was my brother-in-law, one of my brother-in-laws. I have two. And it ended very tragically, a situation where he was in a medical profession, and I received a phone call one evening that he had been killed. And the long and the short of it is that for a long period of time, unbeknownst to much of the rest of us, while we saw there were some issues, we did not realize the severity of his situation. And he slipped into pretty severe depression. And the way that ended was he approached another colleague of his in that person's medical practice and shot him. Didn't harm him in any serious way, but it was very serious that what he did. And when the police were called, unfortunately, very tragically, in the course of trying to take him into custody, he was shot. So I can tell you firsthand that untreated severe depression can end very, very sadly, very tragically. It doesn't have to. In his case, he didn't receive it for one reason or another. In our case, if we ever are in that situation, I hope you'll feel in a position to elevate it to your Stephen ministry leader. And necessary, we will go to supervision and pastor. Don't let it sit. Because even if you're wrong in what you're seeing or perhaps not reading it quite right, that's much better that you brought it to the attention of other people who can help you make those decisions than if you ignore it. Things can be averted. Very, very sad situations and outcomes can be averted.
and we hope to always be able to do that by the grace of God. That concludes this module for today. Looking ahead, okay, next week, and I've mentioned this too throughout the class, we're going to be looking at how Stephen ministers react appropriately to someone who may be a suicide risk. So, understanding suicide, how to help people who are suicidal get the care they need. Because, once again, we don't minister to anyone who is suicidal. However, if it becomes a situation, we don't assign anyone to that kind of situation knowingly, and we don't minister to that situation. But things can change, as you've seen today. People can slip from mild or moderate depression into severe depression. It can lead to feelings of suicide. So we're going to, because it's so critical that it's handled properly, we're going to talk about it in our session next week. So please, your reading assignment in the workbook is, please read pages 317 to 331. That's the pre-class reading. I hope you've learned much from today's lesson. I know I have. It's a wonderful review. And just remember again, in these situations, you're never alone. Just involve the people that you need to involve at the earliest possible time when you think you need help. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know the pain of loss and abandonment. You've experienced the sadness and loneliness, anger and hopelessness and fear that we all encounter at times. Be near our care receivers when they feel depressed. Be present with us and use us to patiently care for them as they suffer. Be a source of hope in us and through us, and help us to know and to show that while weeping may persist in the night, joy comes in the morning. In Jesus' name, in your name, we pray. Amen. Thank you. And God bless.